Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. The sermon's titled, The War of the Words. Yes, there is a story written almost to that titled, The War of the Worlds. Drop one letter. The War of the Words, and this is actually what has been going on since the beginning of the world. There are two rival words. One is the word of God. One is the word of the devil. Rival words, because there are different promises that each one gives. There are different claims associated with them. There's a power associated with each one of them. One is the power of an illusion, of course, but we dig in. And so Jesus goes into the synagogue at Capernaum that day, and he begins to teach, and in his teaching, they're noting that he teaches as one who has authority, not as the scribes. I'm reminded of a saying that one of our professors at one of our seminaries told about PhD theses. You know how you write a PhD thesis? You take a pile of manure and you move it over here and you refootnote it. Everything repeating what was said before, except change the footnotes, and there you have a doctoral thesis. Nothing original, everything going back. So-and-so says that so-and-so said that so-and-so had this quote that I'm borrowing generations later. And Jesus comes along and he teaches not as they did, not quoting so-and-so who quoted so-and-so who quoted so-and-so who said something that Moses might have said. He's teaching as one with authority. He says, this is the way that it is. And he is able to do that because Jesus is God. He knows how the world is put together. He knows right and wrong. He knows good and evil. And he is able to teach. Let's go further. He's the one behind the Ten Commandments. So if you want to know what the Ten Commandments are all about, read the Sermon on the Mount. And he'll tell you the truth about the commandments of God. And he comes and he teaches with authority and there to set in motion his teaching. He went into all of the regions and he started preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this repent, let's define it the proper way. I have it way down further in the outline, but repent means to wake up because God is bringing a new word, and when God speaks his word, you hear that word and you say all of a sudden, oh, that's the truth. And the word that God brings is he brings a word of salvation in Jesus Christ. He tells of sin and of sin forgiven. He tells of judgment and judgment poured out on the Son of God, the Holy One of God, who comes to take our sin on him. And so Jesus teaches with authority, and they were astonished. Next thing that happens, it says in the text, and immediately, did you notice that? Immediately, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. So the word of God comes along, and immediately, it touches where the devil has held somebody captive in the delusion and the lie, and immediately that Word of God confronts what is false with the truth, confronts the darkness with light, confronts death with life, and immediately there's a reaction. Now, it is instructive to pay close attention to and analyze what the devil says, trying to conceal the truth. It's instructive in the book of Genesis, and it is instructive here. So the fellow cries out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Well, the last thing he said is the only true thing he said. Jesus is the Holy One of God. Jesus is the Holy One of God, but what does Luther say about God's holiness? He says the holiness of God is what God does to make us holy. The holiness of God is not God sitting up in his heaven thinking up different ways of judging and condemning because we're not holy. The holiness of God is God doing something to bring us around and make us holy in the image of Christ, to take sinful human beings and make them holy. He takes the unholy and makes us holy. And Paul used that phrase in one of his epistles. He takes sinners and makes them holy in the sight of God. So, that's the truth that the devil is trying to conceal. And he tries to conceal it by calling Jesus the Holy One of God and then suggesting that the Holy One of God has come among us to destroy us. Set the words of the angel side by side with that. "For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And he is born to us and for us. He is the Holy One of God come into this world to be the Savior, not to destroy. And the reason why, to take it back to Christmas and say, the words of the angel is because of that first question there of that fellow, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" And the answer is everything. The suggestion that day at the synagogue when he said that was that the Holy One God has nothing to do with us. He is so far apart from us. He has nothing to do with these lives of trouble, these lives of sin, these lives of uncertainty and doubt and difficulty. But no, he has everything to do with us. How do we know that he has everything to do with us? Because he became one of us. "For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And even the lying in a manger preaches the sermon of he has everything to do with us, because he comes for the least, for the farthest, for those walking in darkness. There's another verse about that, isn't there? "The people that in darkness sat, a glorious light have seen." You don't want me coughing through the rest of the sermon, so there we go. So, why he was born? To be one of us. And not only to be one of us, but to bear our sin. Oh, together with all of the difficulties in life, he would know hunger and thirst and sorrow and grief. He would know what it means to be lied about. And then he would take all of the sin of all of the people, including us, and including the soldiers driving the nails, take all of that on himself. What have you to do with us? Everything. And it's amazing when you take the question that's supposed to lead you astray and you give the actual answer to that question, isn't it? He has everything to do with us. He has everything to do with me, with every part of me, with all of what is inside of me. There is not a single part of me that does not belong in the presence of Christ. You think about that. And you're thinking, oh, this sin and that sin and the other sin, does that belong in the presence of Christ? Yes, because he is the one who comes to save sinners. And so there in Capernaum, Jesus is preaching grace and mercy, the grace and mercy of God, repentance. Repentance meaning knowing that God is a merciful God and he is not like I thought he was. He is not the wrathful, judging God who hates me. He is the Savior who comes to bear me, to carry me, to bring me out of my sin and into his holiness, out of my death and into his life. And this is the message that was preached in Capernaum, because this is the message that Jesus preached all through his life. If you question it, read the Sermon on the Mount again. This is his sermon that he preaches everywhere that he goes, inviting sinners to come to him. And that preaching must not be stopped. Fellow in the synagogue saying, what have you to do with us? Led by, prompted by forces of evil, that must not stand, because he will have his truth come to the people that day. And so we come to part three, Jesus' response, which is what? Be silent and come out of him. The unclean spirit comes out. The rival word is silenced. The lies about God are dispelled. The people of Capernaum learn that God is among them and cares for them. All of that is revealed. And that man, trapped in, held captive by the delusions of sin, he suddenly sees and he knows the truth about who God really is, what he is like. And what do the people say? They say, what is this? A new teaching with authority. And now I'm going to put a little spin on it. A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and sends them packing. Which, being interpreted, as if it wasn't before, which being interpreted means, wow, we can be loved by God. Who would have ever thought that? And all of the unclean things in my life, he can deal with them too. And he can deal with them and not destroy me. And he brings a word from God that I can believe in and live. Well, this is completely different. This is a religion that I can have. And that is why I believe in Jesus. Amen.